Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, the British Prime Minister is under intense pressure from a group of Eurosceptics within his own party, while the former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has also weighed in on the argument as to whether Rishi Sunak should push ahead with a new deal with the EU on the Northern Ireland Protocol. The DUP is as yet undecided on whether to back the deal, which now seems just days away, although we've been saying that for quite some time now. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by Peter Foster, who's public policy editor at the Financial Times and author of the FT's weekly Brexit briefing. Good morning, Peter. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Let's deal with that first. Is it just days away, or is it now disappearing further out of view as the days go by?
Is definitely disappearing further out of view, in the sense that the back end of last week, all of the noises were that this deal would be presented to cabinet on Tuesday, and you know, would be pushed forward this week. But we've seen over the weekend, you're seeing it today, that the DUP aren't on board, and Sunak has been ambushed, I think is probably the right phrase, by intense opposition on the right wing of his party, from not just kind of hard Eurosceptics who want the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill. Remember that bill that promises to give British ministers powers to unilaterally rip up the protocol. You know, they want that bill pushed through. Boris Johnson came out with that this weekend. But even members of his own cabinet, Suella Braverman, saying yesterday that she wants to see that bill there, the gun on the table, as it were, that Sunak has now suspended while these negotiations go on. So a lot of this will be familiar from 2019, but it is, it is looking increasingly as if Sunak has backed himself into a corner on this one.
Because when Boris Johnson popped his head up about the protocol bill, that was a problem. But then when, as you say, members of Rishi Sunak's cabinet then back that position, that becomes almost insurmountable, doesn't it?
It's very difficult. Penny Mordaunt, another cabinet minister, was on the radio, on the TV on Sunday, saying that no deal that didn't satisfy the DUP would really work. No deal that didn't get the DUP back into power sharing and Stormont wouldn't really work. You know, that's not the position of the Sunak government. You know, there's some whispering that maybe if the DUP, rather than denouncing the deal, could give it a soft no, so to speak, and perhaps after the political peril of the May local elections passes, then they could go into power sharing. That might work. But we've got a situation now where the ERG, whether the Eurosceptic wing of the Conservative Party, is essentially using the DUP as a battering ram against Sunak to hold, as they would see it, Sunak to account. And also, to some degree, to settle some scores with Sunak, who they feel knifed Boris Johnson. You know, never underestimate the ability of the Tory party to conduct Brexit negotiations as an internal negotiation of their own political difficulties.
So the truth is, there's a whole other agenda at play here when it comes to Rishi Sunak and his level of support within the Tory party.
I think that's got to be fair, hasn't it? You know, if you look at the way Sunak's behaved since he became Prime Minister, he's actually not confronted the right wing of the party, not on the retained EU law bill, that bill that promises to rip up all EU law, review or revoke it by the end of the year, which has been opposed by everybody from the CBI to the British Chambers of Commerce to the Law Society. Sunak's gone ahead with that because he's under pressure from the right of his party. Similarly on online harms, on a host of legislation, planning, etc. You know, Sunak has been under fire from the right, but we're now expecting him, in paper at least, to take the right on over this Northern Ireland Protocol bill, and that's something that no other British Prime Minister has done since Brexit. Johnson didn't do it, May didn't do it, Truss didn't do it. You know, it's a big ask, I think, for Sunak to do that.
Do you think he has the leadership skills and strength to take on the right wing?
I don't think it looks like he does at the moment. It would be a big call, I think, for him to do it. I mean, there are lots of good reasons why he should do it, for the sake of the country, for the sake of normalising relations with Brussels, etc. But the learned experience of Brexit is that time and again, the wider considerations are secondary to party management issues. And it may be, I don't know, it may be that Sunak decides the political risks, the near-term political risks, are simply too great to take a chance on this now, and he will need some kind of fallback position. I don't think it's all going to end in tears, in breakup. I think that lots of progress has been made. That progress might be able to be banked, as a pretext to continuing talking, moving forward, rather than going for a big bang holistic deal that puts him under great pressure from the right of his party ahead of May elections. That, you know, the polls don't look great for the Tories. You know, these are probably the considerations that Sunak's going to have to weigh up. You know, and to date, as I say, he's not been a particularly bold or decisive leader. Mm-hmm. So this would be a departure if he's going to take a big bang swipe at the right of the party.
I suppose what we've got to know in thinking about all of this is, what is the ultimate aim of the right wing of the Tory party? Is it to get rid of him?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, do they really want another change of leader? Do they really think that's going to help their fortunes at the polls after the debacle of the Liz Truss premiership? I don't know. It seems far-fetched to me, but never underestimate two things, I think. One is a level of hurt in that wing of the party about the ousting of Boris Johnson. Jacob Rees-Mogg saying in his podcast today that, you know, Boris Johnson remains the man with the mandate. But also, you know, in a world where you're 27 points behind in the polls just now, you know, rational, if you think you're going to lose anyway, then you can quite quickly just get back to internecine party politics, party management. And when you look at it through that prism, you know, things start to get rather less rational in some ways.
Yeah. And then on the other side, our Minister for European Affairs, Peter Burke, is in Brussels now at the moment today. And he's saying there's only a tight window of opportunity for a deal. And you'd wonder what the EU position is in light of this, the brakes being put on the UK side.
Well, I think the EU definitely wants a deal. They want to put this to bed. They don't want it to run on. But if you look at what is almost certainly in the deal, I haven't heard anyone say that the deal is going to be rewritten. So you can soften the role of the European Court of Justice, but bottom line, Northern Ireland follows EU law for goods trade. And so the court at some level is going to apply. That's a red line, certainly for the right wing of the Tory party. You know, the EU hasn't moved on that. They do want Sunak to do this deal, but what they say is, look, it's up to Sunak. And if Sunak can land it, great. I think if he can't land it, then you quite quickly, the air goes out of the balloon, which has been studiously pumped up this last few months. The air goes out of the balloon, and then you see the EU looking forward to what looks like a Labour government. Keir Starmer's already said he's going to do a veterinary deal, a dynamically aligned veterinary deal, in order to make the border issues much easier to manage, etc. And if you're the EU, you know, do you give up on the ability of Tory prime ministers to deliver these deals and just wait for a Labour one who, you know, hopefully will have a decent majority? I can see that shift in thinking taking place if this deal can't be landed, which isn't to say they don't want it, but...
That would be plan. I was going to say plan B, but at this stage, it's probably plan N or L or M. Just on the Labour Party front, does Sunak still need the right wing of his own party, given that Keir Starmer has said, look, we will support the Prime Minister on this one to help get it through?
Well, not in theory. I mean, in theory, Sunak doesn't even need to have a vote probably on this. It's not going to require primary legislation to get a new work deal over the line. But, you know, the Prime Minister is Prime Minister because he commands a majority in the House, he or she. And if you're using Labour votes to get over such a contentious piece of legislation, I'm just not sure that leaves you in a tenable position. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that. And, you know, you've got to some degree Starmer, you know, crowing from the sidelines that he's more than willing to save Rishi Sunak from the right wing of his party. But, you know, Rishi Sunak is himself a Brexiteer. He's a prime minister who pandered to the right wing of his party all through the summer leadership contest. You know, he's the man who had his shredder, remember, who's going to shred all EU law in 30 days. You know, and so I just think that's not politically that tenable, even if that, you know, is the right thing to do, and even if the votes are there.
Do you find it hard, Peter, to reconcile his pro-Brexit position, Rishi Sunak's, with his economic realism, given what the UK has seen now in the numbers and how Brexit has affected the economy?
Yes, indeed. I don't read the mind of Rishi Sunak, but I suspect that, you know, he must find it quite difficult to reconcile what he thought Brexit was going to deliver with what's happened. You know, I think on the protocol question, that the difficulty is that we all knew, everybody knew, that whatever deal they came back from Brussels with was going to be inferior from the maximalist solutions that were laid out in the seven tests by the DUP and the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which threatens essentially to unilaterally tear up the deal. So his mistake in some ways is failing to get what are a load of concessions from the EU benchmarked against the original deal. And so, you know, he can say, look, we won all these concessions on SPS, on the phytosanitary arrangements, on the border, rather than having benchmarked against these very maximalist, very maximalist solutions. And it's sort of, it's amazing that we're back to sort of 2019 level Theresa May type paralysis when this was entirely foreseeable. And I don't think they did enough to, you know, set the benchmark against what was negotiable, against what was originally agreed, so that you could see how much had been achieved.
Peter, thank you very much for your time today. Peter Foster there, public policy editor at the Financial Times. And coming up next on the programme, how do you feel when your favourite book ends up on the small or the big screen? Does it ruin it for you? Does it improve it? We'll be talking to our Waterford librarians next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.